morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a pleasure to see people gathered here, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. We have a council meeting today at 2 p.m., so if you are on council, please make sure that you remember to come. Our food pantry volunteers are Michelle and Nels Lofgren, and I'm substituting for Jean Baum. Our Bible study will be Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Youth Night and Confirmation, we're meeting once again this Wednesday at 5:45, and Bell Choir is rehearsing on Thursday at 1 o'clock. Lois asked me to announce this. She said, we would like to thank all who gave to our Thanksgiving fundraiser. We raised $205, and that is the St. Luke's Women's Group. She also has a little commercial. Give the gift of fair trade for the holidays. The holidays are a special time to share fellowship with family and friends and to consider how we affect the flames of our neighbors down the street and around the world. When we give a gift of fair trade, you're giving not just once, but twice to your loved ones and to small-scale farmers' families around the world. She says, we also have dried fruit that you can add to your gifts. I noticed that, dried mango. And there's also baking chocolate and chocolate chips. And a reminder that next Sunday is our youth Christmas program. You don't want to miss seeing what the kids do with what I've written. And also on Thursday, December the 21st at 5 p.m., we have our Blue Christmas service. Blue Christmas is a time when we acknowledge that the holidays are not always easy for individuals. So we begin in a time of lament and move to a time of hope. So if you're able to join us for that occasion, we invite you to that as well. And I know that our bell choir has been working hard, not only in order to prepare for this morning, but to prepare for the Vesper service that will be next Sunday at 4 p.m. at Bighorn Baptist. So, Cassandra, thank you so much for all the hard work that you do. And to all the members of the bell choir, thank you so much. This morning, they will be presenting O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. On page 2 of your bulletin, you will see the words. You're invited to join in singing along with them. And now I'm going to call forward Aaron, Wade, Mackenzie, and Rose to light our two candles of our Advent wreath. Praise to you, O God, who gives us courage to start again. You fasten righteousness around your waist and baptize with the Holy Spirit's fire. Bless us as we mirror your mighty fire in these simple flames, and teach us to mirror your justice in the paths we prepare. We ask that peace abound until none hurt or destroy over all the earth. Amen. Amen. Let us sing verse 2 of Light One Candle to Watch for Messiah. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws near to us with salvation. Amen. Amen. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sin. Everlasting God, you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways. For the sake of our waiting world. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Awake, Awake, and Greet the New Morn, number 242. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. In grand, flowing, poetic lines, the prophet announces that the exile of God's people in Babylon is over. God will deliver Israel and will care for her as a shepherd cares for the sheep. This word can be trusted, because the only enduring reality in life is the word of God. A reading from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says the Lord, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read responsibly Psalm 85, verses 1 and 2 and 8 through 13. You've been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people, and blotted out all your sins.
I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Truly, you have brought salvation to your enemies and to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring out from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and he shall prepare for God the pathway.
The second reading is from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. This short letter deals with pressing concerns regarding the final advent of Jesus, especially concerns that could arise over its apparent delay. The author of the letter calls on Christians to anticipate the promised coming of the Lord through conduct dedicated to God. A reading from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for and hastening the day, and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel of Mark does not begin with the story of Jesus' birth, but with the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. In our Gospel reading, John the Baptist proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was the one about whom the prophet Isaiah had stated, "A voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John asserted one would follow him who was more powerful than he was, that he was not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. While John baptized with water, the one who was to come, the Messiah, would baptize with the Holy Spirit. We are people between two Advents, between the first coming of Jesus and his coming again in glory. We who have been baptized with water and the Spirit look forward to the day of Christ's return, when he fulfills his promise to take his people to himself from all corners of the earth, from the four winds, from the ends of heaven. All of us who believe in him, all of us who have been baptized into his death and resurrection, all of us from every nation and language and heritage will one day gather together to praise our God forever. During the season of the church year, we are called to prepare our hearts and minds for Christ's coming, not just as a baby in a manger, but as the King of glory. One way that we prepare is by remembering the ways that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises that God made to God's people. Today, we will be decorating our tree with chrismons made by members of this church, symbols that help us keep our mind on God and proclaim some truth about God as seen in Jesus. The word chrismons is a combination of the words Christ and monogram. The first chrismons were developed by Francis Kipps Spencer for the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia. Francis thought that the usual lights and ornaments were not appropriate for a worship setting, so she began researching and considering ways to represent the Christian faith in decorations. She began by trying to imagine herself in the shoes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, asking how Mary might celebrate Jesus' birthday. In our time, how do we celebrate birthdays? A cake with our name on it. Frances looked at the traditional Christmas tree as a sort of cake to be decorated, and she put on it Jesus' name and his title, Christ. However, she did not do that in English. Instead, she used the Greek monogram, Kairo, which looks like an X and a P. It stands for the first two letters of the word Christos. She began to create original designs that told more about Christ and his teachings. The ornaments are white with gold, white to symbolize purity, and gold to symbolize majesty. According to an old church newsletter, members of this church started working in May 1968 to make this church's first chrismons out of styrofoam or wire. Ornaments have been replaced and added through the years. May these chrismons inspire you as you prepare your hearts to celebrate the birth of Christ. I'm going to ask that you come forward and pick up a chrismon, starting with the first one over there and working down the line, and then over here and down this line. And please hold up the chrismon so that everyone can see it, and then place it on the tree while I explain what it means. I've divided the chrismons into two categories. The first is about the one that John spoke of, the one greater than he, the Messiah. And the second group tells what the Messiah was to do. So stand up, someone, and take that first ornament and hold it up. Dean, it looks like you want to be our first. So pick up the first one and hold it up. So who is the one who was foretold? This is the Kairo. He is the Christ, the anointed one of God. The most widely known chrismon is a combination of the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ. The Greek letter chi looks like our English letter X, while the Greek letter rho looks like the English P. The cross and chi. The first letter in the Greek word for Christ, chi, is combined with the cross. Only when we understand the Christ and the cross can we begin to understand the breadth and width and depth of God's love. To symbolize the nativity, we will also have a rose placed in the center of this symbol. We'll see that later. Iota eta sigma. These are the first letters of the name Jesus in Greek. The first letter, iota, looks much like our English letter I. The second letter, eta, looks like the English letter N with a tail. The third letter, sigma, may be written as either an English S or C. Here it looks like the English letter C. Son of righteousness. The prophet Malachi wrote, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." Iota chi. The iota is the first letter of the name Jesus in Greek. The chi is the first letter of the Greek title Christ, the promised one. The Greek word Christ is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. When the two letters are superimposed, they appear to represent a star. Iota chi in a circle. When you look at how this chrismon was constructed, you can see what looks like a peace symbol in a circle that signifies eternity, a reminder that Christ is our eternal peace. Christ child in the manger. The circle is superimposed with a chi and a small circle at the top to represent a manger. Christ was born in the lowliness and ordinariness of a manger. The daisy. This is a representation of the innocence of the Christ child. An angel. In the Gospel of Luke, we read how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce to her that she would be the mother of the Messiah. We also read how the angel went to shepherds tending their flocks in the fields to tell them about the Savior's birth. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. Angel symbols remind us that the gospel message is for everyone. The Epiphany Star. The word epiphany means appearance or revelation. This star has 5 points reminiscent of the Star of David. It points to the divinity of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, a star pointed the Magi to the place where the child Jesus could be found. The six-pointed star. Here, the symbolism is of crosses set at angles, suggesting the close relationship between the birth and death of Jesus. Three entwined circles. This is a symbol for the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons, each eternal. This is wheat. We are reminded of the wheat and grapes which make up the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. We have two of the next one if you want to put both of them up. This is the rose in a circle. The rose symbolizes eternity. It is a reminder of Isaiah's prophecy that the desert would blossom as a rose, a prophecy fulfilled when a virgin conceived and bore a son and called his name Jesus. Want to just put the other one up? Thank you. And then the next is a crown of thorns. A crown of thorns was placed on our Savior's head before his crucifixion. Over his head was placed a sign with these words, "The King of the Jews." The letters that in Latin script look like I-N-R-I represent the first letters of the words, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The Latin cross. Although we are not certain of the shape of the cross on which Jesus was crucified, the Latin cross is the one most widely used in the Western Church. It reminds us that Christ suffered and died on the cross, taking the punishment of our sins upon himself and dying so that we might be reconciled with God and have eternal life. No, I need you to take the next one. That one. Thank you. That is the Greek cross. When all extensions of a cross are of equal length, it is called a Greek cross. The formal balance of the Greek cross facilitates its use with other figures in Christian art. This is the serpent on the Tau cross. This is a reminder of an event in the Old Testament where serpents were biting the Israelites in the desert, and Moses was instructed to make a serpent on a pole. All who gazed on the symbol were saved. The Gospel of John records these words of Jesus: "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Let me get the next one. This is the Passion Cross. The pointed ends of this cross are a reminder of the points of the nails, the crown of thorns, and the spear thrust into Jesus' side as he hung on the cross. The cross in glory. The rising sun behind the cross suggests the new day when our Lord conquered death through his resurrection. The circle. A circle symbolizes eternity. It is a reminder of God, who is the eternal one, and of the promise of eternal life with God. The butterfly. The butterfly is a symbol not only of our Lord's resurrection, but the resurrection of all who die in Christ. When a caterpillar enters a chrysalis, its old body dies, and it is transformed, emerging as a butterfly. Christ's body was placed in the tomb, and he emerged victorious over death. The fish. Early Christians used the fish as an easily made and recognized secret sign. During the times that the early church was being persecuted, Christians could find each other by using the simple password. To the outsider, the fish seemed to be merely a decoration. However, to the Christians, it was an affirmation of faith in Christ. Another fish, ichthys. Ichthys is a Greek word for fish. It contains the letters that stand for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. But why a fish? First, because the first disciples that Jesus called were fishermen. Second, when he told them to follow him, he said that he would make them fishers of people. The tree of life. In Christ, we have life, and that life is everlasting. Just as through a tree in the Garden of Eden, death came into the world, so through a tree came eternal life. Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life, and that all who believe in him, even though they die a bodily death, will have eternal life. I think it's appropriate that you two do this together, because this is the crown. The crown is a symbol for the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It reminds us of our Savior's victory over death and sin and his place of honor at the right hand of God. No, we'll figure this out. Just put it somewhere. We'll get... Here we go. Jan, we haven't left you out because you get to show us the other reminders that we have. We have a number of words. We have joy, grace, peace, hope, love, and faith. So choose a couple and put them on the tree. And after the service, I invite you to take one or more of these words and place them on the tree. So before you go off to fellowship, you may want to take one or more of them and continue our decorating. Through the coming of our promised Messiah and Savior, we have been blessed with the most perfect gift we can ever receive. The love of God has entered the world. It has entered our hearts. It has set us free from the chains of sin. This love is too much for our hearts to contain. It spills over into loving service toward our families, our neighbors, our friends, our communities, our world. And let us pause and recall God's great love for us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, On Jordan's Bank the Baptist Cry, number 249. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration.
Send forth your faithful people with words of promise and forgiveness. Teach your church to be bold in revealing your good news in word and in deed. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Reveal your majesty in mountain peaks, flowing rivers, and blossoming wilderness roads. Heal the earth where it longs for renewal. Bring wholeness to the earth and all its creatures. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Turn the hearts of the nations toward righteousness and peace. Increase cooperation for justice between countries, commonwealths, political parties, and diplomatic leaders. In times of prosperity, direct leaders to be generous for the sake of all. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Comfort your people with tender words of love and healing. Surround all who are grieving, all who know depression or anxiety, or all who feel lonely or forgotten. Be a steadfast presence when all else feels uncertain. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Grant holy patience to all who are waiting this season. Give hope to those seeking employment. Bring reassurance to people awaiting new diagnoses or treatments. Protect expectant parents. Watch with those who keep bedside vigil. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With you, 1,000 days, 1,000 years are like a day. Bless the memory of the saints from ages past and the anticipation of saints yet to be born. Inspire us to live with faith as we await your new heaven and your new earth. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us offer to one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Let us pray.
Trespass.
God's word, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. And as you go forth into the world to proclaim the love of Christ, receive this message. Receive this blessing. The God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit remain with you now and forever. Amen. Let us join together in our ascending song, All Earth is Hosanna, number 260.